Here's a scripture that's going to keep coming up, so let it sink into your ears. Ephesians 5:1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. If we are going to be imitators of God, then we ought not to be selective about which parts we imitate. We are to adopt the values of the Lord, not just in word, but in deed. James 1:22 says we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Our Lord and God is a miraculous person who does miraculous things with miraculous power because he loves us and gave his life for us that we would have life and have it more abundantly. There it is, plain and simple. It is no problem for God to raise the dead. He breathed life into Adam when he was just inanimate mud. God breathed life into him, and so for God to raise the dead, as Paul was preaching about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, why would you think it an incredible thing that God should raise the dead? Or why should we think it an incredible thing that God should do the miraculous and then empower his people to do the same kinds of miracles in his name at his direction? William Barclay thought it too incredible that God would do the miraculous. Barclay was an ordained minister in the Church of Scotland in the very early 1900s, had a degree in divinity, and was a lecturer on the New Testament at the University of Glasgow. A very educated guy. Among many other of his absurd explanations of Bible miracles, he explained away the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000 by saying that in those days, priests and rabbis wore large robes with long sleeves, which had a drawstring inside to hold food and other items. Maybe this is where the idiom of having something up your sleeve came from. I don't know. Barclay said that when Jesus spoke in Mark 6:38, "Okay, guys, what have you got?" The disciples said they didn't have anything and were selfishly hiding food in their robes. But when they saw the little boy bring out the 5 loaves and 2 fish, they were all so convicted they surrendered up the food they had hidden. Mr. Barclay was certain there really was no miracle. But the disciples were only touched in their heart by the little boy's generosity. Friends, that's a lot of food to hide in your robes, and then to have 12 baskets full left over? That's just minimizing God, and to what righteous end? It's a miserable explanation of a miracle, to say the least, and a really lame attempt to reduce Jesus down to being a mere man. It would be a great deal simpler to accept Jesus for who he said he was, and that the entire event was everything the Bible makes it out to be. According to 1 Corinthians 12:10, believers can be given the gift of miracles. Are you available to do the miraculous when the Lord prompts you? What is your motivation? And I'm asking that in hopes we would all ask ourselves the question. We need to learn to investigate our motivations, being honest about our why rather than simply seeking the Holy Spirit gifts for our own validation. Hear this. Our gifting soars on the wings of humility. What if we were unwilling to tag our name on the miraculous? Does it really matter if anyone knows God used you to do miracles? If you think yes, then truly, my friend, why do people need to know your name? Acts 4:12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven. Maybe one reason we don't see the manifestation of this gift very often is because the Lord knows our heart. And if the truth be known, there aren't many of us who could actually survive the celebrity and fame which would come along with doing miracles. We should be resolute in our heart and mind. It isn't that God is reluctant to give the gift because he's holding out on us, but more in his wisdom, he knows we aren't ready. The Lord is never tight-fisted with us. He is the most generous person in the universe. He is generous. Let us be generous also, for there is every reason the children should be like their Father in heaven.